Siman Tov Kuf Yud Beis. A very interesting halachas here indeed. The topic here is the topic of cooking for goyim. Once we have learned that melachas letzorich ochel nefesh are permitted, at the same time there is one important exclusion, and that is cooking for goyim. Siman Tov Kuf Yud Beis, page 258. Shlo levashel etzerich kutim b'yomtev. Ein mevashel etzerich kutim b'yomtev. You're not allowed to cook for goyim on yomtev. Lefichach, therefore, also lazminoi, you're not even allowed to invite him. Shemo, perhaps. Oh, hi there.
Hi
there. Also lazminoi, you're not allowed to invite him. Shemo yarbe b'shviloi. You're not allowed to cook for a goy, and furthermore, you are not even allowed to invite him. Let's see what Mishbu explains over here. Siv Cotton Aleph, En Mevashlin, Vuadin Kol Melochis, any Melochis for that matter, She Mutter Lasois Bishvil, Yisrael Melochis, you're allowed to do for a yid, Bishvil Nochi, for a goy, also it's prohibited. Letzorech Kusim, what's going on over here? Diksev, the pasuk says as follows. Asher ye'ochel l'chol nefesh, everything which is for food, l'chol nefesh, any soul, who, that, levadoi, only ye'oseh, shall be done l'chem for yourselves. This is the pasuk which teaches us and tells us that you're allowed to do melachos l'tzorech nefesh. The words l'chem, at the end of this pasuk, indicates that it's only for lochem. Lochem meaning for yourselves, for you. V'doshu chazal, and the chachamim have dashen from this, lochem for yourselves, v'loy, and not lekusim for goyim. Kusim over here is not specifically referring to kusim, to the nation of kusim. Rather, what it's really referring to is any goyim. Kusim is a discussion in its own right, but it's really referring to all the goyim. V'lochem, similarly also, and independently, lochem, for yourselves, v'lo leklom, not for dogs. That will be something else to be discussed at a later stage. You're not allowed to cook for your dogs, which indicates any animal, etc. So, for the tzorich koroim, and what about the karites? B'tshuvas rebetzal tzim and samach gimel oisa, with people who, these are people which believe only in Torah shebiksav, and do not believe and follow Torah shebiksav. Those you're not allowed to cook for them. Some allow the toim heim because they are making a grave mistake. Or may not same with them, but ultimately they're only sticking to the traditions because that's their tradition, not with sincere belief in it. So therefore, and a very important halacha which I want to discuss as well is that mumal avodes kechovim, anybody who is a mumal avodes kechovim or somebody who's mechal Shabbos openly and in public, his halacha, his category is identical to the ones of goyim. I want to discuss that a little bit later. Lahazminoi, you're not allowed to invite him. It doesn't help the fact that everything has been prepared in advance. Perhaps he's going to cook one specific pot, which he wouldn't have cooked, if not for the goy. And therefore, there's a specific head with regards to his servant. There's no particular concern. Let's get this clear. So, the starting point is a posuk. The posuk says, you're allowed to do oichal nefesh lochem, for yourselves. You're allowed to cook for yourselves, for your families, for your visitors, for your guests, etc. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Tzorech echel nefesh. Melocha, tzorech nefesh, is permitted. Lochem, however, excludes. Who does he exclude? Goyim. So you're not allowed to now start cooking for a goy. You're not to start cooking for a goy. Makes sense, because it's included in the pasuk of Lochem. Chachomim were concerned about that, and they said, well, if there is a issa to cook for a goy, we've got to make a very conventional siog or rabbinical additional restriction, which is you may not even invite them. Because what happens if you invite them? You invite them, and then it's only going to realize, oh, I must cook a little bit more for these esteemed kosher guests. What are you going to do? You're going to take a pot and you're going to start cooking for them. So therefore, the Chachamim made a restriction, a very typical restriction. He said, no, because there's an issa, the raisa, of cooking for a goy, therefore you're not even allowed to invite them. Even if you have in your freezer sufficient food to feed 5 goyish families, nevertheless, you're not allowed to invite, because that's already become an issa de rabbonon. To invite goyim is an issa de rabbonon. So inviting goyim for Yom Tov meal is also a rabbonon. Cooking for goyim is also a deraisa. Very good. It is a very good question. It's a very good question. There is a specific issa on Seder night, and you're saying that there's anyone issa to invite. So why is there additional issa on Seder night? I don't know the answer to your question, which is a valid question that actually occurred to me as well. Because you're right, there is a specific issa. I don't know why. Yeah, no, but his question is, why do you have to come on to an additional issa if it's anyway also? It's anyway also. You're not allowed to have any goyim.
It's an additional fence required.
An additional fence, yeah.
When we're actually...
I don't think it's the
Raisa. We've got to make specific groups for including the Korban Pesach, and if there's a goy there, it could be...
Right? Yeah, I want to point out, it was very interesting. I heard it from Rabbi Berkowitz, Yerushalayim Shlita. He said that in the years, those of us who are interested in history, who have an interest in history, the years of the British Mandate, 1914 till 1948, right. So in those years, there was a minhag amongst what we call Yerushalayim Shelmala, the Rabbonim Gdoilim, the Dayonim of Yerushalayim. They used to have a minhag to invite the British ambassadors and the foreign diplomats. They used to be invited on Seder night by the Rabbonim and Dayonim in Gdoile Yisrael. And that was a very well-established custom. Very well-established. Dafka on Seder night used to invite them, which was a common practice. I don't know why they did it. We can guess why they did it. But what remains a question is, first of all, Rabbi Kagan's point, Seder night, you're anyway not allowed to invite. But as far as we're learning now, it seems to be poshut osam adabonon to do that. You're not allowed to invite a goy to the Yom Tov meal. It's a adabonon. And whilst it seems to be, I mean, I looked into it, couldn't find any halachics, these historical books, they write that, but I didn't see any halachic sefer which addresses it. He looked in Yerushalayim Sfarim, Yerushalayim Zalman, he doesn't address it, and in Yerushalayim Fisher, I looked at, they don't actually bring this down. It remains a bit of a question, but Zorachian. Very interesting that you're saying that. That what you are reminding me is Taka. Very interesting. There is a very interesting Kovod Malchus. Very interesting point. Absolutely, yes. It was the power was all in. They had a tremendous. So what you're reminding me is a tshuva of what was his name? Talmud of Ksav Sofer. It's going to come back in a minute. One of the Hungarian Gdolim, he invites a heter of Kovod HaMalchus to shave in the 3 weeks. Because he had once had the opportunity, either himself or one of his people in his Kehillah, had the opportunity of meeting the Kaiser Franz Josef, the Emperor Franz Josef of Austria-Hungary. And he was matir, it was in the 3 weeks, or perhaps even in the 9 days. And he wanted to know if there's a heter to shave, because you don't want to be in front of the emperor with a beard and looking the way we look in the three, you want to look a bit more presentable than that. And he taka had the heter of Kovod HaMalchus. He said that Kovod HaMalchus is a bit like Kovod HaPrius, and he's matir the Rabbonon. So it's very interesting what you're saying. So you're saying it's a very nice comparison. Sounds like very good. You're saying that just like this Kovod HaMalchus, a heter like he suggests. So perhaps there might be also a heter very comparable to Kovod HaMalchus, because the British mandate would be worth it. It's a very interesting comparison. Something to think about. Absolutely. Tzorich Rabim said that it would perhaps be, we find also at times, Heterim or Tzorich Rabim. For instance, we find, you're saying that we find you're allowed to remove, the Gemara in Shabbos tells you you're allowed to remove a thorn, a koitz, from the public domain. In the Shus Rabim, you're allowed to take a koitz, a thorn away from the public domain. The Gemara says, it's put down in Shulchan Aruch as well, because perhaps people are going to hurt themselves. So the Kovod Rabim, Tzorich Rabim, for the public benefit. If there's a hole in the, really, if there's a muktzah item on the street, and you're worried that perhaps people are going to get hurt from that, you're allowed to remove it. Tzorich Rabim. Yeah, you're allowed to. Muktzah is permitted, Tzorich Rabim. So you're saying that perhaps that would also qualify for that. What do you think, gentlemen, about these interesting suggestions? Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah. Yeah, they were. So they try to yeah. So right. So now this brings us to a shaila which is perhaps even more common nowadays, and that's the Mishnah Berurah that says Mumal Avodes Kechov Melechal Shabbos Befahesia His Dino Keakum. So what he says that somebody is Mechal Shabbos publicly is also has got the same halacha than a goy. So what does that mean? That if you want to do say Kiruv, or you want to invite a distant relative, perhaps, who might not be so strongly affiliated yet, and you want to invite them for Yom Tov meal. What a nice thing to do. That's the way to bring people closer. You want to bring them for Yom Tov meal. Now, according to this Mishnah that we saw now, if they are Mechal Shabbos B'Fahesia, or with the Alocha, you're not allowed to cook for them. Not only are you allowed to cook for them, but we just said that there's a rabbinical issa of what? You know how to unite them. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, that says that Mumar Avodes Kechov, somebody's Mechal Shabbos publicly, is within the same category than a goy, you're not allowed categorically to invite such people on Yom Tov. How is that really true? Yeah. Well, the Mishnah Berurah says, you're saying, so that's what the Mishnah Berurah says specifically, that, look at Sifkot and Gimel. Lazmino to invite, ve'eino yimoyel, it does not help. Ma, what? Shekvarichino you've prepared, kol tzok isuda, everything has been prepared, all the necessities for the meal has been prepared in advance, it does not help. Why? Teyeh ishlochush, because we have to be concerned, shemo perhaps, le'evashel oid, you'll cook a little bit more, pekter acheres, in a different pot, bishviloi for him, achrei, shemazminoi, after invited him, v'roi tzilechabdo, and you want to honor him, you want to give him that. So in other words, the fact that it's been pre-cooked and pre-arranged does not help.
And you wouldn't have that concern on Shabbos, because you can't cook anything.
Absolutely. On Shabbos there's no issa. Yeah, on Shabbos there's no issa. Pardon? Very good. So Robert Feingold says that, one second. This is all based on the assumption that the people that we're inviting nowadays are worse than what the Mishnah Berurah cites of Tshuva Zebetzal, of the Karoim. So what Robert Feingold says is that we find over here already that the Karoim, the Karaites, there is a machloikas about it. Why? Because they do believe in Torah Shebiksav, and they do not believe in Torah Shebal Peh. For those, we have a leniency. How about Mechal Shabbos Fanadis? Are they worse or better than the Karaites? Worse or better? Worse or better? So Feingold says, well, better. No, it can't be worse than the Karaites.
Well, the Karaites at least keep Torah Shebiksav, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Is it better to keep Torah Shebiksav and not Torah Shebal Peh than to keep nothing at all?
What do you say?
At least if you observe that the Torah might one day come to
having Israel Tinuk Shenishpa.
Very, no, that's it. That's precisely the point. Here comes the discussion of Tinuk Shenishpa. That's it. So here comes the famous, grand, and extremely controversial discussion that Rav Feingold opened up about the Tinuk Shenishpa Ben Umois. What's the Tinuk Shenishpa Ben Umois? Somebody that was kidnapped, literally what he really means, somebody was kidnapped as a minor, as a child, and has never been exposed to true Torah life, to genuine Torah and mitzvahs. Never been exposed to that. So Tinek Shenishpa, the halacha is that somebody's a Tinek Shenishpa is not considered a Mumah L'Chal Shabbos. So therefore, there's an argument to say that what? That they are better. That the people that we invite nowadays are all within the category of Tinek Shenishpa, and therefore they'll be getting it. Do you agree to or disagree with that statement? Rabbi Kagan, what's your opinion on that? Right. Yeah.
Or add rather, because there's so much around, there's so much to do around, so there's more of a mixture to someone to between the, there's more of a critique between that person's brain and the MS. Because there's so much rubbish, there's so much darkness and falseness, that there's more of a critique there. Even though the information is available, paradoxically, it's harder for them to be covered in.
It's interesting, Svara. Well, I must say what you're saying is a fascinating Svara. Commonly, what Rabbi Kagan said is a Svara that is commonly used in the poskim, that nowadays it's very hard to find a genuine Tinuk Shenishpa. It's very hard to find. You know, the average goy, especially in Edgeway, I've noticed, the average goy, he knows about Ilchus Shabbos, he knows about RMS. He knows about what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. It's quite amazing what they know from sunset till sun thing. They know a lot. Pardon?
Experts.
I mean, absolutely. They know, as soon as you knock on the door of a guy in our areas, they know exactly what you want. Which light would you like me to switch on?
The poor things are looking at Warwick Avenue. They must think they've just been hit by
a
radio.
Yeah.
If you lived in Warwick Avenue,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So there is a lot of poskim who actually hold that nowadays it's very hard to find a genuine Tinuk Shenishpa, but it's an ongoing discussion. Some want to be much more machmir. In Eretz Yisrael, especially, Reminiscent Karelit said that, forget it. How can you say that somebody's a Tinuk Shenishpa in Eretz Yisrael? They've all been exposed to, they've all seen, what Shabbos is, they've all been exposed to Yiddishkeit and to mitzvahs. So is it? But what Abyasal suggests is a very interesting spot. To think about this. Abyasal says, yeah, it's true, they've been exposed to Torah, true. They've seen it, but this comes with such a mix of... It has to do with exposure.
But if you look at the origins of the expression, it means someone has been taken hostage.
Yeah.
You could be taken hostage by Shtiyot. I mean, look at the world now, today.
Yeah. It's a very interesting spell. It's a fascinating spell that nowadays there's so little genuine information...
Yeah. It's been taken over by
Shtiyot
right now. You know, it's
proof. Yeah. So you're saying that there is that. Very interesting. So Halacha L'maaseh Rabbi Yisai, many poskim are of the opinion. It depends really. Which Rav you ask, but many Moshe has got shuvas about it. Rabbi Yashiv, there's very many different opinions, but on the whole, many poskim agree. That non-form yid nowadays would be within the category of Tinuk Shenish, but they would be within that category. And many poskim therefore agree that you may invite them on Yom Tov. There is a very important shaila which I'm going to bring at this point, which is the shaila of traveling. And Moshe was very, very bothered about the traveling issue, asked them to come. Obviously, once you invite them to come, they're going to drive. And then Moshe said, this is a shaila of Mesis. It's not worse than Mesis, means you're making somebody be Michal Shabbos, which is one of the worst, Mesis Mediach is one of the worst averas a person can do. It's Mesis. If you ask somebody to do Chilul Shabbos for you, it's a tremendous avera. It's an Isadera. So Moshe felt that to ask somebody to come is a Mesis. Mesis, you're not doing a mitzvah, but actually it's a Mesis. But if you leave out the shiloh of traveling, then the shiloh of inviting somebody might be okay. Chazanish has got a very beautiful lotion that we've got to always make sure that we treat our brothers, but our voices have with ropes of love. It's beautiful, poetic lashon. The other day it says, with ropes of love, you have to pull them back. And so Levi's, it remains a bit of a shaila, but many poets came out here, assuming that you don't get into the problem of traveling.
It's a very negative shaila.
Very.
So you genuinely offer them somewhere to stay, right? And then there's all this neighbor, is it?
So you're probably not mixes.
If you offer them somewhere to stay, and you know they're not going to accept it, and they know you're going to accept it, is that haram? Is that a problem?
It could be a problem. It could be a problem. Because the mice, if you know that that's what they're going to end up doing, so ultimately they're doing Chil Shabbos for you. Yeah. All the poskim argue that they're anyway going to watch TV, and they're anyway going to go on the computer, anyway going to switch lights on and off, they're anyway going to Chil Shabbos. So they might as well. So at least you're stopping them from doing some Chil Shabbos whilst that. Yeah, and then they're going to do less Chil Shabbos whilst they're with you. So there's an argument to say that actually it's not maces because you're actually stopping them from Chil Shabbos whilst they're. It's a very, very serious shilas. You need a big places to pass on that. Very big places to pass on that. Yeah, Rabbi Kovitz is very lenient. Rabbi Kovitz was very much of the school of thought that you're better off inviting them. Very much, very much. That's the kill of world. Very much. I don't know about Shabbos Day specifically. I know generally speaking, it's very much of the lenient. But there's other posts came on Machmir, but it depends. There's a big difference between Etzol and Chutzlau as well. Chutzlau is many more Mekel. And Etzol is a bit harder to be Mekel, but even then. But yes, it's a machloikas. Nice, it's a very big machloikas. It's very, very big machloikas. And there's the broader picture, the smaller one, yeah. Very good. So that's the continuation of Shulchan Aruch. We'll address that tomorrow, Mitzvah. For Dafkele Azmino, that's the answer. Right, okay, so gentlemen, just to recap what we learned this evening. So you're not allowed to cook for a goy on Yom Tov. That's an Issa D'Raisa. Furthermore, there's an Issa D'Rabbanan of Hashem Yahweh B'Shvilo, inviting them. And we addressed that the Mumma, somebody's Mechal Shabbos, but Pharisee would also be considered like a goy. More on this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We wish you a very good evening.